Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome into another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager at Second City Hockey. You can find me on Twitter at DML57. Apologies for the lack of show next week. We probably should have hinted that with no games in the week before, there may not have been much to talk about, and there wasn't, and then getting scheduled to line up was difficult. So apologies for that to all four of our listeners. But we're back this week to give you an hour at work to kill by listening to this episode, and all of my landmates are back with me this evening. Up first, the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, you can find on Twitter at Jehosa's Witness. It's Shepherd Price.
Just give us a new album, Brianna. I know you're pregnant again, but God, Anti is probably the best album of 2016, and now we're just never. It's been 7 years. And we're just probably never. It's like a Chance the Rapper album, a good Chance the Rapper album. We're just probably just not going to get one ever again.
I was not aware of how many Rihanna songs I knew. It was just like a never ending, like every song she went into was like, oh, this is Rihanna. Oh, this is Rihanna too. Like I knew a couple, but
the choice to do a Kanye West song in the year 2023 was I know it features Rihanna heavily. But that was a choice.
I didn't know she did that.
All of the lights. That's Kanye West.
Oh, that's really okay.
Yep.
Because I like that song, but whatever. I got nothing. But yeah, I think it. I was in a pool where you had to pick like 15 things, and the winner took all the money based off the how many you got correct. And one of them was the first song Rihanna was going to play, and I think one person picked Bitch Better Have My Money and only knew that because the set list leaked before the show. And so I feel like that person cheated and they should have been eliminated. But
yes.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Shay.
I tell
the people at my Super Bowl party.
I will say I'm very glad you didn't sing Lift Me Up because that shouldn't win the Oscar, and that's a bad song.
That was my pick, actually, because it was her number one song on Spotify, because I didn't know what else to go with. I also have a topical thing, Shay, that actually you might be able to join in when you hear the introduction that I'm going to do next, because he's also with us this evening. He is the Second City Hockey, what Haley Williams is the Paramore. He's on Twitter at Mill182. It's Mill Savage.
I don't know if I'm really the same as Haley Williams.
People seem to head?
Probably in spirit.
Not. People seem to like her music.
She's also, again, a very hot redhead.
I mean, I could get into that role.
Yeah, you're gonna have to dye your hair though. I don't think you have the red hair now.
Like a flame color.
I basically had like blue hair that was equivalent to her red hair. Like it was like hot, like crazy bright blue.
I don't know anybody that listened and that listened to that genre of music in the mid 2000s that wasn't obsessed with her. So, and they just had a new album come out, which
their new album is great.
I was actually just listening to it as I was making dinner a half an hour ago, and I enjoy it. Mill, what about you? Have you listened to it at all?
I don't think I've listened to a Paramore album since Riot.
Oh, well, fine
then. I'm not being a hater. I'm just being honest that I'm just not a date.
I forget the order of the albums, but like they lost me for a couple. Like it just wasn't my thing. And then actually After Laughter, I really liked.
After Laughter is one of my favorite albums.
This one's pretty good too. It didn't catch my ear as much as the After Laughter one so far. Maybe on another list some more songs will perk me up, but nothing.
I'm surrounded in my regular life by people who love Paramore and play it all the time. So I'm familiar with the songs, but I don't always know which ones are on which record.
I feel like I'm unaware of just how popular they are now.
Well, because they kind of went, they were only pop punk and like Warped Tour for a little bit. Now they're like a pop act.
Yeah.
So it's like they're very huge, which good for them. I just, you know, they kind of crossed over for the better for their careers.
All right, we'll see if we have to wake her up from a slumber again. At least we weren't talking about pro wrestling time, but the other member of our usual group is here. She is the Second City Hockey Bull and Wall of Text, and she's not on Twitter, but she's at secondcityhockey.com under the name LBR. It's Betsy.
I like Paramore.
Okay.
I'm kind of in the mill boat where I know the songs when they come on. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's Paramore, but I'm not, like, obsessed with it. There's one song that went TikTok viral, and I'm blanking on the name. And I think TikTok's going to ruin most songs for me. So,
well, that's gonna happen. Then maybe you should just have to get off TikTok. Why was the song on TikTok? Was it one of the new ones?
No, it was something from farther back, but they do that all the time. They do. I mean, my nephew's 14 and he was singing Barbie Girl like 6 months ago. Oh, and I was like, why are you singing that? And he was like, it's all over TikTok. And I was like, I'm going to need you to not.
He's on a weird side of TikTok then.
Yeah. No, it was really popular with a bunch of the dance ones for a second. There was like a little dance that went with it.
Oh no, he's on dance TikTok?
Yeah, he likes to watch those. I mean, he watches other stuff too, but like he will watch that. He can't dance himself, he just likes to watch it.
Shay does not approve.
You don't like the dance that you don't like that one couple that danced to every single iTunes chart, like tone or whatever. Do you see those people?
Costa Mayer? I like Costa Mayer.
Yes. See?
That, like that I like. I don't like the dancing teens. They're our age.
That's true.
Nothing makes me feel older than listening to people talk about TikTok because I don't have it and I know I don't belong on it, so I'm not going to get there, but. It's just not for me. I'm too old to get in that. Cause that's good. I know if I get it, it's going to take over my life. Cause it's just, it's like Vine, but longer and just as addicting. So I've already been down that internet wormhole. I got out. I don't need to go back.
I was going to say, if you're on Instagram and you do reels, they're just repeats of TikTok.
They're just repeats of TikToks.
I had a moment today where I realized I was old cause I was listening to FM radio. And to make it worse, Dave will get this. I was listening to 97.1 FM The Drive.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, exactly, because of SkyPoint the Loop though.
Yeah. Hey, Q101's still trugging along somehow.
Were you listening to the radio in a car or like just a radio?
No, I was in my car and I was on like lunch and I was too lazy to plug my phone in because I live like 4 minutes from my job.
I only listen to the radio when I'm in my car. I don't plug anything in.
I just feel like that's like a, like, well, we're the same age, so that makes sense. But I feel like that's like a generational thing.
Absolutely is. Like the car I have now doesn't even have a space for a CD player. And that
fucking blew my mind. B96 used to be the shit.
Oh, hey, 94.7 The Zone was where.
Well, actually, the old Q101 was the best. It sucks now compared to how it used to be.
Yeah, well, that's because you're getting older, Mill. Everything sucks compared to how it used to be.
No, didn't iHeartRadio buy Q101, and that's why it sucks now?
No, like probably. Well, it went off the air for a while. Like it was, I thought like it became like Christian radio for a while, and then it came back.
That was the Loop.
Okay. All right. But then, like, it was like, it was still at 101.1, and then it wasn't Q, but it wasn't the Q101 brand, but now it is again. It's weird. I don't know.
The Loop, they went off the air because they got bought out by a Christian station. They went off the air with Highway to Hell.
That's right. That's right. You are correct. All right. Oh, hey. Should we talk about hockey?
If we have to.
I guess. Like I said, what are they going to do? Fire us? Well, hey. Since the last time we talked, the Hawks had – so we talked just before – or it was – while the Hawks were on their all-star break, they came back. They've played three games since then. They have won one of them. They lost to the Ducks, beat the Coyotes, and then got steamrolled by the Jets on Saturday night. It seems like most of the things that are happening on the ice are not the interesting things that are happening right now. It's a lot of the
– No.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I will still complain that that's one win too many. Yes. And you can't be beating the Coyotes.
Okay. Fair. Well, and actually, like, the loss to the Ducks actually might loom large.
Yeah,
that was important. If that was a big L.
Stop picking up loser points. Lose outright.
Well, don't worry. They got some perfect games for that.
In my day, we lost outright.
Yeah. In my game, we didn't play for overtime when we were tanking.
Yeah. In my day, we didn't have pity points. So
I know. Damn the shootout.
The big thing I wanted to talk about briefly was the on Friday, the New York Rangers made a trade for Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yes, and please congratulate him on getting out of that hellhole.
Yes, yeah, congrats for Tarasenko. I've always kind of enjoyed watching Tarasenko.
He's great.
It's just he was on St. Louis, so I hated him. So now I feel like I can appreciate I can appreciate him playing hockey more. So it's a win for me, as it is.
New York is going to get all the Russians.
Yeah, maybe they'll somehow end up with Mishkov in the draft, too. But the reason why we're talking about that trade is because it sure as hell seemed like Patrick Kane is not thrilled with the fact that he didn't get traded. Oh, sorry. That was my shredder. Hit the wrong button. Kane seemed like he was rather upset that he did not get traded to the Rangers. And it's a very strange situation because it seems like he's fully in control of this situation. If he wanted to go to the Rangers, he should have told someone like a month ago. And now Tarasenko's there, so he won't be. And now he seemed upset about it on Friday when he was talking with the media. So I don't know what other thoughts we have on this, but I'm just going to throw it over to Shay, and we're going to see what happens. So, Shay, your thoughts on this whole Patrick Kane trade saga situation?
I mean, it makes sense that he's upset because he wanted to play with Panarin again.
Yeah, it's fair for him to be upset. I shouldn't discount that, I guess.
But I think so. Elliot Friedman or other reporters, I just credit Elliot Friedman because basically all the news comes from Elliot Friedman.
Yeah. Safe bet.
He reported that the New York Rangers thought the price on Kane was too high, which is probably no, is. Patrick Kane.
I think that was the Emily Kaplan tweet where she's the price was too high and there were also concerns about Patrick Kane's hip.
Yep, because he's had a hip injury for a few years. I do kind of think it's in the Blackhawks' best interest to shut him down, heal him up, and then trade him next year. And get, because I think you can get better value for him next year, especially on a cheaper deal.
There is that because, for sure.
Yeah, I think the trade deadline should be focused on Taves and probably a few other defensemen right now. Because you do – like you need – it's Patrick Kane. It's arguably the best Blackhawk of all time. It's arguably the best American hockey player of all time. You need to get a first-round pick for him. If you do not get a first-round pick for Patrick Kane, that is an inexcusable trade and it will look bad. I'm sorry. That's how it is. He's still Patrick Kane, and he's going to perform in the playoffs.
Well, if fully healthy, I absolutely would. If I was talking to a GM, I would say that you could absolutely take a bet on him. Like he's having maybe the worst season of his career right now.
Oh, yeah.
Went to a better situation with better teammates and
with a better coaching.
Yeah. And if the playoffs arrived, everything would be better. I would absolutely talk a GM into that bet, but none of them are going to take my calls. But no, that's a bet I would make.
Right, especially not when he's not fully healthy. So again, shut him down for the rest of the season, sign him to an extension, a 1-year extension at like $6 million, and then trade him.
Trade him next year?
Yeah.
Well, Because then my follow-up to that would be, well, what if Connor Bedard's here next year and he doesn't want to get traded then? But we'll have that discussion later. I want to swing it over to Betsy and get her thoughts on the situation.
Well, first of all, I think it's fine that Kane was upset, but it did come across egotistical a little bit. Like, and he has a right to that because he is a great player, but like some of his comments kind of sounded like he was a little annoyed that a team didn't wait for him. And it's his own fault that, because he even admitted, he says, well, in Davidson's defense, it's not like I've told him, I haven't given him an answer and I haven't told him who I might want to go with or anything. Like, he completely was like, I haven't talked to them about it. So it's his own fault for thinking that teams were just going to pause for him, especially with his injury, when there are players like Tarasenko and others out there that, in Kane's mind, might not be as good as him, but would fill just as good of a void on these other teams, especially one with Panarin, who has connections to a couple of different free agents. We in Chicago think, like Chicago fandom, think, oh, Kane and Panarin, that makes sense. But obviously Tarasenko is Panarin's best friend. And Tarasenko tried to get Panarin to come to St. Louis when he was first signing. And I mean, yeah, like that was always a possibility. So Kane has only himself to blame a little bit here, you know?
Well, like, the other part of this question, like, I feel like Patrick Kane's job is to play hockey and focus on hockey.
Sure,
and everything else is his agent's responsibility. So I feel
he has to signal to his agent.
Isn't that the job of the agent, though, to be like, hey, I got an inside guy who's telling me that the Rangers are trying to trade Tarasenko. If you want to trade for Tarasenko, if you want to go play with Panarin, you got to waive your no trade right now or you're not going to go there. So I feel like he should be pissed at his agent, too.
Agents aren't allowed to talk to other teams unless their current player's team gives them permission. So unless the Blackhawks give them permission, and if Kane doesn't tell his agent to go and say, I want to start this kind of stuff, like we could sit there and say that that's his agent's job because it is, but Kane is literally the one that has to say, yes, I want to do this. And from his comments, it sounds like he has not made that move, that he has not told his agent to do it, that he has not told the Blackhawks he wants it to happen. He pretty much said, we're going to have those conversations in the next 10 days or so. And that was like 3 or 4 days. What? No, actually it's even longer than that. Cause it was what, like last Friday. 3 or 4 days. So I don't know. It seems a very, very much like this ball was always in Kane's court and he just hasn't moved it. He hasn't given it to his agent. He hasn't given it to the Blackhawks.
he's taking his ball and he's going home like, or staying home, I guess.
It's not like a lot of the best free agents in the past years have waited till the very end before being traded. But there's always that one that kind of sparks. Like, there's always, like, a big one a few weeks out, and it just so happens that that one was one to a destination that Kane really wanted to go to. So, both his own fault, but also probably not great luck for him that it just happened to be that one. He could go to a bunch of other teams, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, if he's healthy and he desires to go somewhere else, I'm sure some team would call him calling for him. It's just a matter of whether or not he wants any of those situations now.
Yeah, and Power's last thing, he said something like, it sounds like it'd be maybe 2 or 3 teams that Kane would that wants to, like, that's about how many it would be down to.
Mill, what about you?
Okay, look, I don't want to understate how fucking bad the Hawks are when I go into this, because they suck out loud on speakerphone. Like, they are bad. But Patrick Kane is not in the same boat as a lot of guys who play on a shit team, because he is widely going to be considered the best Hawk that they've had by many. And he has 3 Stanley Cups with them. And we all know all this stuff, right? So it's kind of like, do you want out of the situation because it sucks? Or do you just want to go win more and play on a better team? Right? It's not like guys who are chasing cups at the end of their career. So I think Kane probably is struggling with that himself. It's like a legacy thing, right?
Yeah.
But he's still competitive. He still wants to win. I'm not saying he doesn't. So to me, it's like, it's kind of balls in his court, because if he really wanted out, the Hawks would have to find the best price they could get. However, I think they're kind of at the point where he's undecided and they haven't found a package worth talking him into.
Yeah, I think that would be an interesting part of the equation to see, like, if Davidson's even taking phone calls from other teams yet. I would assume so, just to, like, see what's out there. And I, because it is, like, kind of to your point, like, it is a very delicate situation that if the public perception becomes that Davidson ran Kane out of town, that may not be a great look for him, even if it is ultimately in the best long-term interest of the team. Ditto with Taves. So, you know, it perception is going to be very important to all of this for Davidson's own sake, I guess. Same thing with Taves, but
yeah. And the thing too is, like, if you think about it, the Hawks care about what people think about them as an organization. So yeah, if they trade Kane, there's going to be 5 million people who haven't watched a game in 3 years raising hell.
Well, yeah. And they're still getting people to go to games. Like I was there last Tuesday. Like it wasn't full, but it was not like 2004 empty either. So it's
right. No, people are going to go, but I just mean, like, they're not going to get the viewership that they were when they were winning.
Yeah. It's just, it's a weird situation all around, just because of the, you know, with the no trade clauses and now Kane's health, which Kane did say on Friday that he thinks the hip thing is overblown. And they had the week off for the All-Star break in that first game against the Ducks. Like, there were a few times when he was skating through the neutral zone and looked like there was a little jump in his step. Like, maybe the week off helped. But then on the other side of that is, how the hell is he going to make it through, like, the 2 month rigor that is the NHL postseason with, if that hip's nagging him, like, cause there's no way he'll be in the same shape in June that he is in April if his whatever team he ends up on goes that long. So it's a very tricky thing. Like, I don't know how in depth the physical will be if he gets traded, but I imagine that hip is going to be a big part of the equation for any team that comes calling for him. The other player I wanted to touch about briefly was Jonathan Taves, and he keeps missing games with this non-COVID illness that's getting a little mysterious and a little weird, considering he missed an entire hockey season not that long ago. And Taves hasn't gone in front of the media at any point because he's been out of the lineup. And there has been, like, multiple beat reporters have, like, made that connection of Taves is missing a bunch of games, and, you know, he had this weird illness a few years ago, missed an entire season. The Hawks are maintaining it's the flu. I'm not going to put these two dots together because it's too early to do that. But I eyebrows have to be raised, right? Have either any of the three of you thought about this? Because it's crossed my mind a little bit. Go ahead, Jay.
If that mysterious illness is what we thought it was, which was mental health related, it would make sense that he's feeling this way, given how fucking horrible the Blackhawks are, and also the last year of Blackhawks off the ice stuff. But like, if it is, he needs. I hope he's getting his health. Either way, I hope he's getting his health in order. I also, like, it wouldn't surprise me if it's in air quotes and they're healthy scratch. They're scratching him.
Jacob Chychrun treatment. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Without saying that, because he's one of their franchise players. He's one of their best players of the last
because 40 years. They don't want his trade value to go down like it is for Kane because of health reasons. That's an interesting thought. I hadn't put that together, but there is that as well.
Because they're already not going to get a first round pick for Taves. They want to get as much that value as possible.
I've experienced a non-COVID related illness frequently called the hangover.
Are you telling me he's been hungover for a week now?
I mean, if I played for this fucking team.
they said he was at the gym working out. What is that something a hungover
person does? I don't know if Taves drinks, but I know he likes to hit the magic dragon, so we'll see. That's all I got.
All right. You don't get hungover from the magic dragon.
I mean, I don't know what kind of guys he is.
Maybe he was on a dark retreat with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I hope not. He could have been doing fucking ayahuasca.
It was like because he's not they got the three games coming up in Canada and he's not in Canada with the team. They're thinking maybe for Ottawa on Friday, possibly, but that was at least the word out of the morning skate on Monday. So we'll see what happens with that. Betsy, did you have anything else to add on Jonathan Toews and dark retreats in ayahuasca or were
No, it's probably not anything. Hopefully it's nothing too serious for him, just from a personal standpoint. But also I feel like Toews is the one that's maybe not even really on the block. He seems like the one that might stay. I think in Power's article, they said they like that the Blackhawks weren't convinced either Kane or Toews would ask to be traded, and that Toews's odds were actually lower, which is kind of weird. Cause I feel like if they retained half on Toews and then got another team to retain some more, like if they did a three team trade, there are a lot of teams that would like him as a third line center.
It seems like that'd be the perfect role for him at the age of his career.
Yeah. So, but
I think Colorado wants him as a second line center.
Yeah, but he's the type of guy who could go up and down if they needed him to. And even though faceoffs are overvalued, having somebody who can take 60%, which does impact statistically at least a little bit, especially situationally, would be great for a lot of teams in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, the little situational moments like that carry a higher importance. The one other player that's suddenly like shooting up everybody's trade radar, and I maybe slightly unexpectedly so, but at the start of the season at least, but the way he's been playing, it should be less of a surprise, is Jake McCabe all of a sudden seems to be high on the list. Toronto, I guess, has already been floated as one destination because Toronto has always needed help on the blue line, especially of the defensive variety, and Jake McCabe seems like he would be the exact fit for that. It's kind of a Brandon Hagel similar situation in that McCabe is tied into a $4 million cap hit for this season and two more. So he's not going to need a raise. He'll turn 30 in October. So he's maybe not in the prime of his career, but still very close to it. So he could still be very good for a couple more seasons. And if the Hawks retain half, that salary goes down to $2 million, which the Hawks can absolutely afford and would make McCabe more affordable to some other contending teams. So the only thing I wrestle with is I've grown to really enjoy watching Jake McCabe, and I think he'd be a fun player to have around if they got good in the next few seasons, and it would kind of suck if he got traded. So that's the only thing to say about that. Go ahead,
Betsy. For him, because his wife's from Chicago. And
that's right.
I always feel really bad for the players that, like, go to the city that they really wanted to be in, and they took what was arguably a slight pay cut. He obviously had – like a terrible season last year, so that didn't feel like a pay cut, but it did after the other seasons because that was, I think, injury related or recovery related.
Yeah, he was recovering from the knee surgery at the end of his Boston or Buffalo.
And from Buffalo, yeah. And but I feel bad because all he wanted to do was come to Chicago because that's where his wife wants to live, and here we are, not even a couple years later, going, well, goodbye, sir.
And I believe he's from Eau Claire in Wisconsin, which is about 4 or 5 hour drive up the road. So like it's not exactly a homecoming, but it's close, about as close to home as you can get. It's the here or the wild.
Well, apparently he and his wife were coming here for summer since they were in college. So,
okay. Go ahead, Jay.
I think that McCabe is probably not the only defenseman who is probably on the block and will probably be gone. And I'm going to miss Murph so much if that's the case.
Well, I think McCabe's value is a lot higher because he's having a much better season than
Murphy. Oh, yeah.
So,
I think if you put Murphy in under better coaching and in a different role, he's going to become old Murphy again.
Well, I mean, the last coach was – sorry, it sounds like you've soured on Luke Richardson, my old
group. Oh, I don't like him. Yeah.
Here. Okay.
He doesn't. Nobody's taken. There's been no kid under Luke Richardson has taken a positive step.
Well, there's only
one. And as Betsy said last time we podcasted, all of the Rockford people go back to Rockford shaking. Like, they go back and they're worse. Like, that's a Luke Richardson problem.
Yeah, they're not. They're not very good with their kids, honestly.
Yeah.
That's literally his only job is to be good with the kids, and he's not. So he needs to go.
I mean, Reichel is officially under a point per game now in Rockford. It's the first time he's been under a point per game since like the first month of last year.
He's literally ruining the kids. He's the worst person at his job. I think Nate Babcock may be better at the job that he's been assigned.
Jesus. All right. Before this gets too much, I don't want to get too dark because like Rockford did come up for air briefly. Like they won three in a row and then lost both games last weekend in Milwaukee. So they're like, I guess maybe still teetering on the brink of the downhill slide they were on, and we'll find out next weekend if they're going to go up or stay down. We haven't had too many games to talk about. I kind of just waiting to see what happens with the trade deadline, because I think after talking about it for 8 months now, it feels like it seems like we're finally getting to the point to where like things might actually happen in the next few weeks, and we can stop like talking about hypotheticals and talk about things that actually happened. But we're going to save that for future weeks when they arrive. What we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back on the other side of this timeout, and we're going to have a special guest join us. And I have no idea what's going to happen in the next segment with our conversation, but it might be interesting or entertaining. It's going to be something. So just come on back on the other side of this break for all of that.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. And as promised before the break, we do have a special guest with us this evening. He is the managing editor of Secret Base at SB Nation, and he's also a regular member of the Shutdown Full Cast podcast, the only college football podcast on the internet. It's Ryan Nanny.
Hello, thank you for having me. It's me, the hockey expert, here to talk about the hockey.
So, I listened when you were on the Cannon Blast with our Columbus Blue Jackets sibling site, and I don't know how many overlaps we have between the Blue Jackets fan base and the Blackhawks fan base. I'm going to guess none. So, what you have a stated goal for this year, which is why you are here, and what is that goal?
I would like to appear on as many podcasts as possible as a guest. Whether or not I am qualified to be on them, this is a great example of a podcast that I'm super not qualified to be on, but you all have been very gracious and decided to help me with this goal all the same. So I hope that I will at least keep the conversation going in not necessarily a forward direction, but maybe like a confusing zigzag.
Okay. Well, confusing zigzag would be better than talking about the present-day Blackhawks, so we're totally fine with that. As we were discussing before, you are in Nashville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. where one of the Blackhawks' rivals, when they were good, was the Nashville Predators. So I wanted to start with, have you been to any Nashville Predators games?
So the answer is yes, but it's not at not at their stadium, if that makes sense. I went to the game they played at the Titans Field where they played the Lightning.
Okay.
Time makes no sense anymore, but I believe that was last season. Yes. Okay. That is the only Predators game I have attended so far.
Okay. The reason why I wanted to ask you that is because I wanted to loop in Shay and Betsy into this conversation because I'm just curious at what place on like the sports radar hockey holds in Nashville, if it is there at all. And I wanted to loop Betsy and Shay into this because Shay is down in Texas, Betsy's in Georgia, so mm-hmm. I feel like that half of the country is a much different formula than the northern half where Mill and I are. So where does hockey register down in Nashville?
So I think the answer changes if you're talking about Nashville proper, Davidson County, the city that where Nashville, the city is, okay. and if you're talking about the suburbs. In the city itself, I think hockey is reasonably popular. Like, I see a lot of Pred signs and Pred's gear. And some of that is that they do all the smart things that a hockey organization should do. They have, like, lots of youth programs. They sponsor, like, the local rink. They do lots of things to make people – to make hockey accessible to people who might not be lifelong fans or might not have come in, you know, expecting to care about the Preds. So I think in most of the time, it's actually reasonably popular here. It's not, you know, okay, it's not as big as college football or even college baseball when Vanderbilt's good. But if you get outside to the suburbs, it's just like, yeah, they care about the Titans and that's about it. Like, so, hockey really starts to drop off.
So, bets your shape, either one of you want to chime in. How does that compare to your experiences in your parts of the country?
Well, my part of the country is Atlanta, where we lost our team not once, but twice. But I will say, Nashville had a much bigger presence than the Thrashers ever did in Atlanta. And I don't know if that has to do with the location, because Bridgestone is in a perfect spot.
Yes.
In Nashville. I mean, you just walk right out into Broadway. And it's super fun after a game because they, like, block off Broadway and it's just hockey fans forever. And it's right across the street from, like, one of the music halls or the museum. I can't remember which, but you can park there. And, yeah, it's just a really well-placed arena. Probably one of the best – like, maybe D.C.'s the only other one that's better. Pittsburgh's is okay. But Atlanta's Dave, you've been – at Mercedes-Benz, what was Phipps and is now State Farm is, like, right across the street. And you've been there in downtown. It's not great. It's okay, but it's not great. So it's grown a lot too. I've seen, like, over the years, and even though Nashville hasn't been great recently, it's still very popular. And I want to say all three of their major colleges have programs there, and they all started, or at least two of them. I know Vanderbilt and the University of Tennessee started in, like, the 2008, 2009 years. So it's definitely branched into college down there, too. So, and that did not happen very much in Georgia. Georgia does have some, but it's, like, the University of Georgia and Georgia Tech. And those are pretty much the only two.
Shay, what about you? What's it like in Texas?
Well, I mean, as a Vegas Golden Knights fan, our teams kind of stole the San Antonio AHL team.
That's right.
So that happened. The Texas, I think, outside of Dallas, where the Stars are, it's non-existent. I don't think it's on the radar at all for Austin or Houston, although Houston, I think, will make a good hockey market if the NHL ever decides to make its way back here. San Antonio, I think, once upon a time, maybe. Now, like, I, if I'm one of, like, five hockey fans here, I think that makes sense.
Well, I'm getting, go ahead, Ryan.
I was going to say, I think one reason why it's worked out in Nashville thus far is it's a still very, limited market in some ways, in a good, and by that I mean, like, if you want to go see live sports and you live in Middle Tennessee, you can go to Vanderbilt Athletics. We have a couple of smaller colleges as well. Belmont is one of them. And, like, you can go to that. These are not, like, top tier schools that are playing for national championships, whatever, but, like, that's there. There's the Titans. The Titans are sometimes good and frequently just crazy expensive. So that's like all you've got, but that's it. Like, we have a minor league baseball team. There's rumors that maybe they're going to try to swipe the Orioles or something stupid. There's, you know, there's the Grizzlies, but that's a 3-hour drive away. So I think the fact that the Preds are, as stated, in a really good location and sort of like, if you have a sports itch to scratch, this is a very accessible one. And they have had relatively recent track records of fielding good teams, fielding competitive teams. Like, it's been, they have like a foothold here that I think has been helped by the absence of some of the other big four sports.
And so with Nashville being one of the Hawks' big rivals, obviously there's been, and they had a couple playoff series. Like, the last time the Hawks were in the actual playoffs, non-COVID related, Nashville swept them pretty soundly, but the Hawks owned them every other time before. So there's a healthy rivalry there. And
I need you to refresh my memory. What was the banner that Nashville raised that got universally mocked on the internet? Do you remember this? What was it?
It wasn't the meme of them beating the Hawks, was it?
No, that was the meme.
It was something real.
I'm trying to think of what this was. There was some banner that it was like first round of the playoffs winner or something like that they raised to the Raptors,
like divisional playoff.
Yeah, they did. They didn't they raise a President's Trophy, Central Division champs, Western Conference champs.
So yeah, that
three banners they raised.
Because I think that's the main area where Nashville comes up on our end of the spectrum now was just for universal mockery.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was that. And then, are you familiar with the or have you ever heard about the keeping the red out marketing scheme that they did?
No,
they were blocking. They were blocking IP addresses from the Chicagoland area if you were trying to buy tickets to a Predators game, because Nashville, like that stadium is in the middle of like the heart of downtown Nashville.
Yes.
So people from Chicago would come down there if, you know, to get drunk all weekend and stumble into the hockey game as well. And they were trying to keep the rut out. And I was trying to decide where that registered on poor marketing schemes from professional franchises that you are familiar with.
So that is what's interesting about that is that, and I'm not trying to pull all of this to other sports, but Vanderbilt football has had big problems with that in the past in a more egregious fashion. This is what has happened previously at Vandy.
Okay.
Let's say Vandy has Bama on the home slate 1 year. Bama fans, because they want to come to the same thing. They want to come to Nashville. They want to make a weekend of it. They would buy Vanderbilt season tickets because season tickets at Vanderbilt were not super expensive. You can maybe get them for, I don't know, $150 or something like that. So they'd buy, you know, three season tickets or whatever. They'd go to the Bama game and already have their tickets well in hand. And then whereas when this happens at other colleges, you would try to sell off the other tickets. They just wouldn't bother because they'd be like, well, I'm not going to make that much money. And it didn't cost me that much money to get here in the first place. So I don't have an economic incentive either way. So the school realized at some point that they had tons of season ticket holders that were not showing up except for like one marquee game a year. And as they sort of dug into it, they realized that, oh, this is because we have this phenomenon where we don't have like enough of a built-in engaged Vanderbilt football fan base to buy the season tickets. And Instead they're getting poached by people out of state who just dump all the rest of them. It's a huge, stupid problem for them. Or it was, at least. I think they've like taken some measures, but I understand why
The
Preds might've been aware of how this could go and try to overcorrect perhaps.
You know, the keep the red out thing wasn't the only thing the Nashville Preds did. They did change the anthem. Like, they didn't do the anthem a couple of times when Chicago was in there. They played God Bless America instead because Chicago fans would yell.
Because they cheer through the anthem at home, Blackhawks home games.
Yeah, I was at the game right before and then two games after the one that they cheered so loud that it was like being in the United Center. Bridgestone's not huge, so it was like...
I'm glad you reminded me of that. Yes.
I was like two or three games in, like, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they're playing God Bless America.
Like, funny story about that playoff series. I had tickets to game five.
And then what happened?
Well,
the God Bless America thing was in 2014 though. Not during the playoffs.
Don't you just have to sort of like at some point, isn't the best thing to do just to not acknowledge it? Just be like, yes, Chicago fans are going to show up and they're going to like be themselves. And rather than try to thwart it, just be like, whatever. We're not like the cool thing to do is to not acknowledge it. All these steps that we're talking about are just like, this just makes you look stupid. And it sort of accentuates that there's a more obvious way to not have this problem, but you can't get there necessarily.
It's a very younger brother mentality.
Yes.
And you are never going to not be the younger brother if you don't stop acting like the younger brother.
Right. That's a very good way to
put when for the last like 5-6 years, Nashville's probably been a better team than the Blackhawks because have been trash for so long. Yeah. So I found the picture of the banners. It was the President's Trophy, which is for, as we all know, Ryan, the most points in the regular season, best record, and then regular season Western Conference champions and Central Division champions. All those banners were raised in the first game of the next regular season, all at once. So they got to raise three banners on one night without winning a championship. It was great. As you
I think they only kept the president's trophy one up. I want to say the last time I went to Nashville, they only had that one up.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we're going to send Ryan to a Predators game to do our boots on the ground
investigative
reporting.
Investigative journalism. Yes, I love
absolutely.
It.
Yes. That's what we're here for.
And you know what? I'll ask. I'll be like, hey, what happened to these other banners? Can I get a look at them?
I hope they just get the first person that asks gets the banner. That's how it's set up. So go. Maybe they'll just award it to you.
Here's your division champs banner. Here's the care instructions for it.
They roll them up and put them in the trunks of those cars that people smash before their games.
Nashville. So we already talked about the Blackhawks a little bit. We've had some more hockey discussion there. We need to get to our bread and butter of the food take portion of the podcast. And I want to start with Ryan again. This is part of our boots on the ground reporting. With you being in Nashville, I feel like Nashville hot chicken is everywhere now. Correct. I feel like everywhere I go, it's on the every menu at every place you ever go to. There's a brewery two blocks from me in the suburbs that I can walk to that does Nashville hot chicken every Tuesday. Is this like, what is the Nashville opinion or approach to Nashville hot chicken? Is it even a thing down there anymore?
So I would say in some specific ways, it is still like, first of all, it's still super popular. I couldn't tell you the split between like how much regular people who live here are eating it versus how much these lines at Hattie B's are tourists. I suspect it's more of the latter. But Nashville hot chicken has been a thing for a long time here. Like that's not bullshit. The tricky thing about it is that most of the originators of this particular culinary trend are Black-owned businesses that traditionally have not been in like the glitziest parts of town and are not particularly showy about it. Like they're certainly not trying to make Food and Wine magazine in terms of like their marketing, their decor. They're just, you know, mom and pop businesses that put out a really interesting and tasty product. And it also messes you up. Like I've had hot chicken and it messed me up quite badly.
Okay.
But it has kind of been co-opted first here in Nashville and then sort of more broadly in the South. And now it's like, I think KFC was doing a version of it at one point.
Yes, yeah, they
it
were.
Just sort of like goes everywhere.
B-dubs.
Yeah. So now it just has sort of like, I imagine that in some ways it's kind of like this is probably what people used to think about the buffalo wing and buffalo sauce, where initially it was like, this was a very specific thing. This was a very regional, localized thing, and then it just sort of like morphed and took on a life of its own. And I suspect in the same way that there are lots of things that are called buffalo wings now, that if you went to people who are from Buffalo and have strong opinions about what that should or should not be, would say a lot of these don't pass muster. I suspect that's true of a lot of what's happening with quote-unquote hot chicken right now.
This just sounds like the deep dish pizza thing in Chicago.
Yeah.
I think deep dish pizza, you only eat it in Chicago when your friends from out of the area come into the area and say they want deep dish pizza.
Sure.
And then you take them to wherever.
Right. Right. Yeah. Hot chicken is the kind of thing. Hot chicken and hot fish. Like I have an uncle who particularly loves hot fish for some reason. That's his version.
Oh.
But it's a thing that people eat, but because it is what it is, like I don't even the most like diehard, been here 50 years, citizens of Nashville, I don't think they're like eating it every day or every week or anything like that. It's to quote Cookie Monster, this is a sometimes food.
It's a great way to describe it.
Well, I mean, Betsy, you're probably the closest to Nashville. How much is Nashville hot chicken down in Atlanta?
It's here, but I don't think I've ever had it in Atlanta. I actually only had it as a tourist in Nashville.
What was your verdict on this dish?
I'm not super into spice, and the one that I got was really, really, really spicy. Yeah. Like so much cayenne, and I'm pretty sure I was like, "Where's milk?
Yes.
I'm gonna die here."
Yes.
So I also don't really like hot, like regular hot wings either. I have to have like dip it so much in ranch that people are like, that's disgusting. I'm like, whatever, to survive. This is what I need to do. But I don't think I've had it. I don't think I've had it ever anywhere in Georgia. So can't really speak to it down there.
And then I have to ask Shay as well, just because, again, the proximity.
Yeah, it's definitely in Texas. I agree with Betsy. It's very good at giving you that metallic sting, dead tongue, if that makes any sense. Like, it's like at a certain point just tastes like you're eating metal, in that your tongue has become so numb and your taste buds are all gone for the day that it's like, oh, there's just nothing but pain here.
This doesn't sound pleasant. Why do people do this?
Do you all know I'm like 95% sure this is apocryphal. Do you know the apocryphal origin story of hot chicken?
No, please, no, we do not. Please share it.
So this is like 100 years ago or something. Rumoredly, this married couple, husband is out late carousing, cheating on his wife, whatever, and comes home drunk, goes to bed, and his wife is making him lunch to take for the next day. And she decides how she's going to get her revenge is she's just going to make this blisteringly spicy hot fried chicken. That's what she's going to do. And he brings it to work, takes a bite, incredibly spicy, but he loves it. He thinks this is just the greatest thing in the world. And that is supposedly, and again, I don't think this is at all real, where hot chicken came from. So your instinct of like, who is this for and why would you enjoy this, is not far off, at least from what the story is.
Yes, that it's a punishment.
Yes.
You're punishing your body.
It is definitely challenging. Like, unless you are a person who really is into eating really spicy, and by spicy, I do mean hot. I don't mean like, oh, this has like a lot of flavor. It is very flavorful as well, but it is a challenging thing to eat. The one and only time that I had Nashville hot chicken was 4 days before my wedding. And there's a reason that I did it 4 days before and not one day before.
I don't know if I'd want to do it within a week of said wedding, just because you would. I assume you have to be able to speak at some point during your wedding.
It was a choice that I made, and it worked out. And you're right that I probably flew a little too close to the sun, potentially.
So one of the other highly discussed food topics on this particular show is grits, because, again, we have two people down in the South, two people are not. I'd heard of grits, but had never had it in its proper form. I had it during a trip to Atlanta last fall for the first time, although it was more of a cheesy variety of it. Betsy has very strong, firm opinions on grits.
I'm going to be known as the grits girl from now on.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Well, we can't call you Gritty because that's the Flyers mascot, but whatever. But like Ryan, since you've been down in the South, do you have particularly firm stances on grits? And I know Shay has them as well from their time down in Texas Texas mainly. So I just want to know if we can get the three of you to start yelling at each other over grits opinions, and Mill and I will just sit back and watch.
Okay. So I should disclose that I grew up in Florida and not in like any particularly southern parts of Florida. Florida definitely frequently like avoids all the rules of how the South usually works, especially in food. So I didn't have grits until I was probably in my 20s. This was not like a thing I grew up eating. I think grits are fine. I will say I have only had savory grits, cheddar grits, shrimp and grits. I know sweet grits are a thing. I am not really interested in them.
No, sweet grits are gross.
Okay. That was my hunch. Okay. And I think sweet grits fall into this other category of Southern food, and sweet tea is the other one, where it's just like, there are some Southern foods where it's just like, it's all sugar. It's so much sugar. And it really, I don't understand it. It's really just gross to me.
Love sweet tea. Hate sweet grits.
Okay. Okay.
I'm of the same mind. Savory grits are the way to go. Cheesy is awesome. Base grits is good, but cheesy is better. Anytime you can have it with bacon, shrimp, pork is good too. If you can ever have that. There's if you substitute out of like pork, like some Mexican dishes, if you sub out the rice for grits, it turns out pretty good too. I love grits. So Shay might Shay likes grits too, but not maybe as much as me.
Yeah, because Shay's a transplant. Go ahead, Shay.
Yeah, transplant. Grits are fine. Again, I've never had sweet grits either. Any grits I've had have been savory and have been shrimp and grits.
Okay.
Which is a very good Southern dish. That's the Southern food is good for things like shrimp and grits.
I also is polenta and grits, are these just the same thing with different names?
I think polenta is corn and grits are wheat. Although
grits are corn, yeah.
But for some reason, I'm thinking that polenta is more yellow.
Okay.
Than grits are.
Okay.
I thought polenta was not grits. I thought it was it's corn and other things too. Because it's like what the fuck? Why am I blanking? Like wheat is a different. It has more than just corn in it, doesn't it?
I think it can, but I think like most traditional polenta is just corn. I don't know though. Like now I'm questioning my own knowledge and understanding of these.
I was like, I need to be like on Wiki right now, but maybe it's the texture of it too, because polenta is always like, I don't know. It's more solid to me. Usually.
Yes. It has more of like a sort of like mushy cake quality to it. That's true.
Now I really want to know. Polenta comes from Flint corn. And grits is from white. So yeah, so one of them is from is more yellow corn and one's from more white corn. So
okay.
Great. We've discovered that it's all about color.
I'm looking forward to all the restaurants around here that don't serve grits, but I'm gonna request them just to see what happens.
Sure.
So we focus on a lot of the southern or the southern parts of the conversation. Mill, I wanted to bring you in and see, do you have we've had a lot of food takes over the years, Ryan, but I just want to see, Mill, is there one particularly controversial one or a very hot food take that you remember from our year or however many it was discussions that you wanted to offer here and that we could yell it at each other and or Ryan about?
Do you want me to make people angry?
Sure.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah. We're all getting laid off, so might as well.
I think pineapple is so good on pizza. I'm going to put other fruit on my pizza and see how it tastes.
Okay. So I've had to deal with this in my own personal life recently because it's been a recent revelation for me that my father is one of my favorite people, my hero, is a pineapple and pizza person. And that's changed a little bit my opinion of him.
Did you not know that? Is this a recent revelation?
This is a very recent revelation.
Isn't that special that you can have this person who's so important to your life and you can still learn new things about them?
Yes, it is. But it's not something I wanted to learn about him because I am firmly against putting fruit on your pizza. Why would you put a cherry on your pizza?
Okay, all right.
Tomatoes are fruit.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say.
God.
What do we do with that? Barely. What do we do with that?
Look, we call it a vegetable and we move on.
You open the door.
God damn it.
The forbidden door.
Yes, a banana is a berry. Oh, wow. Look at the classifications of things.
I will say I have had, and this is at like a nice pizza place. I wouldn't suggest like trying this on a DiGiorno or something. I have had fig and prosciutto pizza, and that was quite good. I know.
Was it still with like traditional like red sauce?
And no, I think it was more of like a white pie type deal.
They sell DiGiorno at the United Center.
Wait. Pies. You can get what does that mean? How can you sell DiGiorno at a sports stadium?
When you go to the concession stand and they have pizza ready, it's just fucking DiGiorno that they make. Because that's who endorses them.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
It's really stupid. They should have better pizza than that.
That's also extremely offensive in the city of Chicago that they have DiGiorno pizza.
It's a big song. I know, like, you could literally get any, like, I mean, I feel like most of us lean tavern cut anyways, but you can get any fucking pizza in Chicago, like anything. They're like, here's DiGiorno for $11. It's like one slice.
You know, And so the other thing I wanted to bring up with you, Ryan, we've had a lot of discussions about Waffle Houses Because for obvious reasons. And actually, I was down in Atlanta last fall. Betsy gave me a list of Waffle Houses to go to that were within a reasonable distance of the hotel where I was staying. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't get into the one that I wanted to go to because we were looking for a place to go sit down and have a slightly drunk late night meal, because that's what Waffle House is for.
That is one of its key uses. Yes.
Yes. And Betsy, can you explain why I couldn't get into the Waffle House I wanted to go to?
They started closing it down at midnight because there were too many drunk fights happening right there.
Oh, that's a shame.
I know.
That's the Waffle House you really want to go to, too.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
There was an incident Waffle House.
It's like right across from Millennial Park, which they're trying to like build up that area as nicer. Yeah. And so they're like, please stop fighting at this Waffle House.
Yeah.
It would have been like if they would have put a Waffle House outside the Dumbledore.
Yes, exactly. And then I think it was all in the same discussion that we were there. And then we ended up on maybe my favorite topic we have ever got into on this episode, on this entire show that we've done for a couple years now. It's Murder Kroger. Ryan, are you familiar with Kroger?
I am familiar with the Murder Kroger. Okay. Yes, I am.
How did you find out about this? Because when she mentioned this, I thought it was a joke at first, and then I Googled it. It has a Wikipedia page.
Yeah. I don't know if you all find this to be true, but I have like accidental Twitter circles that have popped up that are very geography centered. Like I follow a lot of people who are from or live in Charlotte for some reason. And Atlanta is another one of them. Like I work with three co-hosts on my podcast who all live in Atlanta. But because of that, like I am aware of things that are happening in and around Atlanta, maybe more often than I am of things that are happening in Nashville. Like every time a freeway catches on fire in Atlanta, I am aware of it. And you can tell by how Betsy responded to that, that is not like, oh, the one time that happened.
Yeah. It's happened a couple of times. Well,
why?
More than a couple of times. But
why do freeways catch on fire in Atlanta?
The last one, a truck tipped over and there was something being stored underneath it. So the truck fell and then whatever was being stored hit with whatever the truck had. And it just went up.
Yeah.
An entire section of the freeway like fell. And that was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Two and a half, something like that. It was during the pandemic. It was like right at the beginning, and people were like, "What is happening? The world is dying." I was like, "No, this is just Atlanta.
This is just the freeway melts sometimes. Be cool."
Yeah,
I feel like that's happened when I've driven through there before.
There's also a lot of construction. Like they're putting new roads up everywhere around here, and sometimes they just have construction fires for some reason. I don't know what they're doing or why. But yeah,
the NHL needs to get back in Atlanta. That's the main thing I'm getting out of this conversation. Yeah, bring them. Take that team out of Arizona that's playing at a college stadium, or move one of the Canadian teams again. Who cares? No one in Canada is listening.
No one will miss them.
Yeah,
fine. You had your chance, Ottawa. The Senators aren't good this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Dave, I have an important question. Did you end up getting to a Waffle House during your trip?
No, because we were trying to, and then we found one that had a sit down option, but they said their cook had not shown up. Uh-huh. So, but they had another cook that was going to be arriving in a half an hour, and we were not waiting for a half an hour. So we found some other just random diner that was nice. It was like a Waffle House, but it was like the mom and pop diner version of Waffle House.
Right, right.
Significantly less fighting.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. I hope one day you get to experience it because it is just as special as advertised.
As we were discussing on a few episodes, like my college that I went to was in central Indiana, like 30 miles east of Indianapolis. So there was just we're just far enough south that there was a Waffle House in that city right off the highway exit. And we went there several times. Okay. But I haven't been there in like 10 years. And I feel like because of the internet now, like the Waffle House aura is so different these days. So
you got to steal a coffee cup.
Yeah, well, I will do nothing that might anger the staff at a Waffle House. I've seen videos that suggest that they are not to be trifled with. That's all.
They've seen some shit.
Yes,
they dealt with worse than you. Yeah,
exactly. Well, Ryan, I want to thank you very much for joining us as we're winding down this episode. I know it's been a very difficult 24 hours for you after your difficult night with the birds last evening.
Thank you.
So thank you for joining us. Do you have any parting food thoughts or food advice or food takes or anything you want to offer to us on your way out?
I guess I would mostly like to thank Waffle House for staying in its lane so effectively for the last, like, if you, when you go back, you will be like, oh, this menu has not changed. Like, where every other, you know, Waffle House, for example, never got involved in the chicken sandwich wars. You know why? Because Waffle House knows what they're good at and they stick to that. And I, like, I respect the restraint. I really do.
There we go. Well, I'm just going to have to venture south and find some more Waffle Houses. I guess that's
come to Nashville. Come to Nashville. I'll take you to Waffle House. No problem.
Yeah, go to Nashville. It's actually probably better to go in their downtown than it is Atlanta's.
All right. Well, I mean, Nashville, that's almost a central point between where the four of us are all scattered. So that actually might work out. We're gonna work on that. But thank you again for Ryan for joining. Thanks to everyone else for hanging out this evening. We'll be back next week talking about whoever the Hawks lost to next and whoever they're going to trade next. And that should be a lot of fun, just like it has been for the last 5 months. So we'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.